couple of weeks ago, we had a panel here that involved four of our men leaders here at the mission today. We get on this Mother's Day to invite these four ladies to come and share their wisdom and their experience. So it's going to be a real joy. So let me just quickly introduce those to you. At the far end is Des Gonzalez. Next to her is Regina McCollum, Des Crone, and then my lovely bride of almost 49 years, Deborah Crone. And so, ladies, we are expecting amazing things today. This is going to be fun, and yes, we really do count on your wisdom, especially for the moms out there today, and for us, too. We just need this feminine side of the mission expressed today. So get ready. If you want to send in comments and that kind of thing, please do so online. Yes. And we're going to have a great time. So get ready for this to blow you away. So ladies, it's all yours.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dave. And thank you guys for joining us this morning. Welcome once again. And for all the mothers out there, a special happy Mother's Day to you. Hope you're enjoying all your children, your babies, and having a great day today. So I get to do something really fun today. So we are going to have a conversation. You guys are ready? Ready.
Sure.
Ready
sure.
or not.
Ready or not, yes.
Well, it's going to be fun, and it's such an honor, guys. I know for me, these three women play such a pivotal role, not only as pillars in this house, but pillars in my life. So I just so appreciate each one of you and your role in my life. And I just so honor the gift you are to this house and to our lives personally. So I'm excited. So we're just going to jump into it. All right. All right. So for those that may be new to the mission, you heard Dave so eloquently introduce us, but can you just share with a viewer that may not know kind of your role and what you do here at the mission? So take it away.
Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm Deborah Crone, and like Dave said, we've been married almost 49 years. That doesn't seem possible. We've been here at the mission for next year will be 30 years.
Awesome.
So, yeah, isn't that crazy? So my role here at the mission, that's such a great question. I have no idea some days, but I guess Dave and I are the mom, well, not moms and dads. We're the grandmas and the great-grandma and great-grandpa of the mission. But my technical role besides that is I'm in charge of facility, maintenance, grounds, redecorating, repairing,
amazing,
whatever. So, and I love it. And then, of course, just we love the people here, and we just count it. We've never lost the passion for being here at the mission, and for the, because it's the people that make it every day new, and every year something exciting that the Lord's doing. So we're just blessed and honored.
Awesome. Amen. What about you, Des?
Well, I'm Desiree Crone, and I'm married to Ryan Crone, and obviously related to the other Crones. And so we're the local leaders of the church. And I've had the privilege to be here for 30-something years, because I grew up here. As an elementary student, we started coming here, my family. So I attended here, met my husband here, and we've been serving here don't remember how long, a while. I also have the privilege of helping in the kids department, which I love. So I'm part of the kids team. And yeah, that's what we do.
Awesome. And you do it well.
Thank you.
Yes. And I'm Regina McCollum. My husband is Dan. And together we've been fixtures here at the mission for a long time. And what is my role? I've spent a lot of time here as a daughter in the house, and feel like I am now a mama in the house.
Definitely.
Yes. And but my technical role is I help lead the team that takes care of the prophetic ministries here at the mission. And so that's a new role for me. I'm enjoying it and growing in it. But
it's amazing. Love it. And for me, we are somewhat new to the family here, as some of you may know if you've been tuning in, that Matt and I have moved here about 2 years ago, and God led us here, and it's been so much fun. And just recently took a role as family culture directors. So unfortunately, quarantine kind of hit right after that announcement. So we've been, you know, doing things to prepare and, you know, doing things while in quarantine too. But we're excited to when we actually get to see people in person. That is an exciting day, let me tell you. So, okay, so we're going to open it up. Today's Mother's Day, as we all know. And so I really want to talk about that for a minute, if that's okay with you guys. I want to know from each one of your perspectives, how do you feel the role of a mother is? How important is that, not only in our own families and our own the home structure, but even in the church structure, in the church mountain, if you will? What do you think the importance of the mother role is? Do you want to start, Deb?
I don't know. That's such an interesting question, because I think each woman as a mother is so different.
Absolutely.
From the next person. So I think to think of it or in generalize it is hard for me, because I'm so very different than somebody else.
Absolutely.
But they're just as powerful and dynamic and what they do. So I think to be true to your calling as a mom and as a person, I think we can't lose ourselves. Like when we become moms, sometimes I think it's so overwhelming and all-consuming that sometimes we forget we're actually an individual and a person that has a calling on our life, not only just for our families, but for the body of Christ. And so to me, I think we bring grace when needed, but then we also bring correction. I'm a very direct person,
yeah.
So sometimes they have to like be very thoughtful of what meetings I'm in, because Dave will say, "Yeah, well, yeah, probably better not to have you in that meeting." But then there's meetings where he'll say, "No, we really need your voice
yes,
and what you bring, because we need that courage to just speak." You know, what needs to be spoke. So I think, I guess I don't see that as just a mother's role. I think being a mom is just one of the best training grounds of being who we are and being that for other people.
I love that.
Yeah.
What about you, Des? What do you think? The importance.
Yeah, repeat the question, please.
So how do you feel like the role of a mother is important, and how does that play an important role in the church or even in the family structure itself?
Okay. I think for me, it's kind of similar at home and here. It's just, you know, your kids at home, but then also dealing with people. So here. So I would say encouragement is very important.
That's good.
Using your wisdom and your knowledge. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good.
What else? I mean, that's all that comes to mind right now.
What do you feel, Regina?
Yeah, I think that's good, Des.
Yeah.
And Deborah, being who you are in front of the people, in front of your children, in front of the house, and that's really important. Each one of us have something unique and special to bring. And when I think about this question, what role does the mom play in the church and in the home, I have to say that I don't think anyone can truly answer this question more fully than Bethany Hicks does in her new book. Shameless advertisement here, because it's the truth. It's called Own Your Assignment, Every Woman's Call to Raise Up World Changers. And it's full of chapter after chapter after chapter addressing this very question of what is my role as a mother in the kingdom of God, as a mother in my own house. And we're not just speaking of women who have borne literal children, but we're speaking of spiritual mothers as well.
Right.
And I love this line. Every woman, no matter her culture, ethnicity, age, or station in life, is called to own the assignment of mothering world changers. The Christian community has been equipped with powerful books and trainings that champion the call of spiritual fathers. Yet there stands a missing piece in the kingdom family: the call to mothering. particularly spiritual mothering, remains faint and undefined. And ladies, we play a big role.
Right.
And so if you're not sure of your role or the importance of it, I do recommend listening to what Bethany has to say about this. And starting tomorrow, Monday, she's offering a five-day online experience, live with her for the next 5 days, and that's what she's going to be talking about.
Awesome.
So you can go, if you just Google the phrase Own Your Assignment Challenge, you can find the link to that and get registered and participate in that.
That's awesome. So, what a great, you know, segue, because I think it is an amazing book. Go check that out and take advantage of what she has right now. You know, we had the privilege of doing a podcast with Bethany when she first came out with that book about a year ago, actually. We got a little notification on Facebook today. So, you know, we had a great conversation about that. And I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. I feel like the body of Christ as a whole, we are doing a great job, I feel like, to honor the nature of the Father. You know, God the Father, we see that the nature of God the Father. You know, we see the visionary aspect, the identity, the stability, and everything that goes with being a father. You know, I feel like this is the time. You know, this, I really feel like God is highlighting the nature, his nature as mother. You know, I know we know he's Father God, but he also obviously doesn't have a gender per se. And so he is, I really feel him calling us, ladies. I feel him calling us as mothers to rise up in this season, that we do have a voice, just like what you're saying. Every single person is a different display of the glory and the nature of God. And if you're not living out your own assignment and your own call, what is the world missing? What is the body of Christ missing? You know? And I feel like the, you know, some of the things that we can attribute a lot of times to the nature of a mother would be things like nurturer, you know, and comforter and the structure and even discipline at times, you know, those kind of things. And I think one thing and what we need to break off, even as women and as mothers, is any lie that crept in somewhere. Maybe this doesn't apply to you, and if not, that's great. But that the mother nature of God is the weak side. You know, I feel like, unfortunately, I've seen that modeled, you know, in the body, is that we don't necessarily give it as much attention because we don't see it as important sometimes. And that's not across the board, and that's you know, can sound like a generalization, but I feel like, you know, this is the time, this is the hour that God is really highlighting specific voices to be those cheerleaders, if you will, you know. And I see some on this stage, and there's so many out there that we've heard from personally that it's like, you know, the book Lisa Bevere wrote, Lioness Arising. I feel like that's a mandate that we're stepping into. So I'm excited for the voices that are emerging right now, and that God is raising up right now. It's really, really exciting. And so the next question I have is for you, Deb. You know, as one of the mothers and the prophetesses of this church home, I would love to know what you feel the Lord is really breathing on prophetically for the church. It could be for here or prophetically the body of Christ as a whole. I know we're going through a lot in this season. Everyone is kind of trying to navigate where we're at, what are we doing, you know. And I know I just want to honor the fact that you are a prophetess and that you have a specific voice into this. So what do you feel like God's doing in this season?
Well, curious enough, when I read that question, I did see it ahead of time. My first response was, I have no idea. I don't know. What is he doing? What's he saying? And this morning that came back to me. I was out in the garden and repotting some flowers, actually. And that your question came back, like, what's he doing? And I just stood up and I was like, I don't know. And then what was so fun, though, is probably for 20 minutes, the Holy Spirit just reminded me of probably the most important aspect of him in my life, which I think hasn't changed. It's mm-hmm. not something new. It's that as a mom and as a believer, choosing to make Holy Spirit my best friend. Mm-hmm. And he took me to two instances as a mom that just I relived in that moment, because he was really wanting me to see how important it was. So I'm just going to share really briefly two kind of stories, if you will, from my mother experience being a mom, because I was a very young mom. Like, I was had just turned 20 when Jeremy was born. I had babysat once in my whole life, had never changed a diaper until the day after he was born, and they shuffled us off home, and I'm like, what do I do with this baby? I had never taken care of a baby, never changed a diaper. But I just have this sense of like, oh, we'll figure it out. You know, I wasn't nervous, which was ridiculous because I should have been.
That's awesome. That's a miracle.
Especially the first diaper I changed was like, what is that? You know, I thought something desperately was wrong, you know? Anyway, but I just remember when Jeremy, it was one of our first really challenges of him as an early teenager. And I remember seeing a Band-Aid on his hand, and Band-Aids weren't unusual because he was in football. Every day something was different, was bandaged up. And I remember seeing a bandage on his hand, and now I realize Holy Spirit was guiding me, but in those days I didn't know what being prophetic was or any of that. Right, you know, as a believer, but that was outside of my realm of experience. But now I realize Holy Spirit said, ask him what's under that Band-Aid. I'm like, well, he plays football. You know, I'm whoever is talking to me, I'm like, he plays football. Everything's bandaged, you know. And he said, no, ask him what's under the bandage. So I said, Jeremy, what's under that bandage? And I just remember him going completely white. And I said, take it off. Then it was like that mother lion kind of thing rose up. And I said, take it off. And he took off the Band-Aid, and he had actually scratched some initials on his hand right there. And I said, oh, okay, so let's talk about that. And the situation was, he and a girl at school had kind of started chumming around, and I could tell they were not good for each other. Right, you know, he was not making good decisions. And so Dave and I had said, for 2 weeks, you're not to correspond, be together, anything, and we'll talk about it after 2 weeks. And so he wasn't happy, but he said, fine. But then when I saw this, I realized they weren't necessarily following the rules set. And he said, well, Mom, she's still sending me notes at school and stuff. And what I thought was going to come out of my mouth was anger and disappointment and like, it's forever now. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. You are not being responsible. You are not making. But what I realized is Holy Spirit was becoming such a friend to me. What came out of my mouth instead of that, which wouldn't have been very helpful, what came out was, so what does that tell you about her character? Hmm. And I'm like, that is a great question. I would have never thought of that. But I'm sitting there like acting like I know what I'm doing. And he just thought for a minute and he said that she's not honorable.
Wow.
And I remember the day, like, and then he and Dave went and had a conversation. We never had to make that decision, because from that day forward, he is like truth illuminated the situation. And I just remember that being so precious to me. Like, I know that wasn't me. I said it, but I know it was Holy Spirit helping me.
That's so good.
Yeah. And so I think and then each child is different. You think you get it dialed in, and then the next one is completely different. So making him our best friend, like with Ryan, I was trying to teach him the same way I thought, you know, with Jeremy, and nothing was working. No, like, I would tell Jeremy, the Christmas lights are hot, don't touch them. They were the old kind. Well, when Ryan came along, I just did the same thing. I said, the lights are hot, don't touch them. And then he's crying because he's touching every one of them. And I'm like, what? No, they're all hot. You know what I mean? The red ones, the blue ones, the yellow ones, the green ones, they're all hot. But it just showed me that each child is different. And yes. So unless we make him our friend, mm-hmm, so and good. Give us wisdom. Yeah. And so I think that's what he's saying, is for not just moms, but the body of Christ, is made me your best friend.
That's so, yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree with you more. Des, I want to go to you next. You know, I know you guys shared, I think it was last year on Mother's Day, right? Mm-hmm. And you shared your journey and your story of how you were adopted. And it was amazing. If you have not heard their journey and their story, go back, find that episode, that service on YouTube and check it out, because it was so, so powerful. And I just was hoping, if you wouldn't mind, just give us like a snippet, a like short condensed version of that story. And how has that part of your story impacted your mothering?
Okay. Yeah. So you want me to tell a little bit of the story?
Sure.
Okay.
Love to hear it.
Well, I was adopted, for those of you who don't know, 3 days old. And it's something that I always knew about. I always knew, and I always thought it was so special. That's how my parents, you know, viewed it and treated it, that adoption was just like the best thing. So I grew up feeling that way. Never questioned it, never sought to seek out otherwise, I love the idea, and I would tell everybody, you know.
How do you feel that journey and how you felt as
okay.
an adopted child? How do you feel like that? I don't know. You know, how influenced you.
Influenced me. Okay. Well, I knew early on I wanted to be a mom. Like, I think because it was so special to my mom,
yeah,
and she
right.
longed for it for so long. I've always loved kids. Like, I was the opposite. I was always babysitting and playing school and, teaching the kids and doing all that. I loved that. And so I knew I always wanted to be a mom, and I always wanted lots of kids, which I have now. They keep me very busy, and I love them all. So I always wanted to be a mom. And I think through the story, like, my mom prayed, and there's just a whole bunch to say. That's why I'm having a hard time figuring out what to say. But, every family, every child is a gift, a miracle. I think it was important to me to have a family because I know how God views family. He loves family. He loves his kids, and also how powerful prayer and how he answers prayer, and he wants
yes.
to give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
So my mom desired to be a mom so much and prayed for it for so long, and he answered her prayer. And even the details, like, she wanted a little girl with curly hair, and so he even, he cares about those little tiny things
yes.
that are important to you.
That's so good.
So,
yeah, and I think, it just speaks to me. I mean, I love that you felt so accepted, so loved, so nurtured in that way. You know, I think that God is really speaking to that, to the level of, I mean, we can apply it to, our own families, but also in the church, that, we have to go from a fostering mentality to an adopting mentality, even with the sons and daughters that God brings us. And it's sometimes easy, people come and go, and, they're used to that almost because maybe they didn't feel loved and accepted and appreciated in their own homes, and then they come to a church home and that's all they know. And so it's just so good. And I think that we can just take that and really apply that to how we are parenting as mothers, and also how we see those God entrusts us with. I think that's powerful, because I know it's funny, because I wasn't adopted, but I can relate kind of to the other side. And of course, my parents are amazing and I had an amazing childhood. But one part of my story is, my mom got sick when I was young. And so the things that maybe I felt like I needed as a young child, I didn't fully receive, for not because she didn't want to, but sickness really stole her from us. That's what I felt. And so, looking back, it's like, I had to go on this whole journey of how to discover how to mother, after having my own kids. And, I love what you said, Deb, because that's literally my story. I feel like I was having such a hard time. I was dealing with shame that I can't even describe to you after having my own children, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I don't know how to mother you. And then here comes a couple more, and I'm like, I really don't know how to mother you. And so I'm like, it came to, I was pregnant with our fourth child. Yeah, it took that long. I'm sorry, girls. I'm back out to you. And I went through, honestly, during my whole pregnancy of having our fourth child, I was going through a whole healing deliverance process with the Lord. And this is basically what it came down to. I may not know, but He does. And He is the best teacher and the best counselor and the best mother and the best father I could ever have or long for. And He is there to teach me along the way.
This morning I was asking Him as I was out in the garden, I said, is there a word for today? You know what I mean? A word. And He said, grace, which I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Mm. And then when I drove through the communion drive-through this morning, I was handed a little card, and it said, guilt will never be bigger than grace in our family. And ooh, isn't that awesome? And I think sometimes we forget the power of grace, especially the grace to give ourselves. Yes. Because we don't know what we're doing. It's like the most important job in the world.
Yes.
And we are absolutely not prepared for it. Because every child, even if we feel like we're doing the right thing with one child, it's completely ineffective for the next one. I feel like as a mom, it's almost like a full-time job just giving yourself grace for the day, right?
Yes. And I love that. And, you know, perfectionism is a lie, okay? All right, y'all, perfection is highly overrated, and it's a lie. Like, let's take off that yoke of perfect. We're not called to be perfect. We're not. And, you know, a lot of times I've found as a mom that my interpretation of what is happening and their interpretation and what is happening is so different. And if I go to them and apologize and repent, and sometimes they're like, what'd you do? And I'm like, well, I'm really glad that that didn't impact you the way I thought it did. But, you know, we just taking the ownership and realizing, hey, I'm going to mess up. But God, there's grace. And He covers not only us, but He covers them and their
hearts. I remember
an
older lady. I can see her face, but it was years and years and years ago. She said, the only thing that your children are incapable of forgiving you for is not loving them. She said, you can make every mistake in the book, but if they know they're loved, even if they're you don't do it well. And I think keeping that perspective that what love chooses.
Yes.
And, just hanging in there. Yeah.
So good, guys. So good. Reg, I would love to go to you. And my question for you is, you know, everyone who knows you, you're so brilliant at so many things, but you're a brilliant teacher. And I am curious how your gifting as a teacher, how that's played a role in your mothering, and maybe it hasn't played a role in your mothering, and maybe share a little bit of your insight on that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and before I go straight to that question, I just want to agree with what you all have said. At times I have felt very inadequate to parent the child that's before me. I also have four.
Yes.
And I've got this brilliant one whose IQ is double mine. And, you know, I've got this one and this one. And there are times the circumstance has just been over my head. And what I fall back on is grace. When you said that, I realized that's my saving grace is grace. And I hear Holy Spirit telling me, I knew who you were when I gave you that child. I knew who you would become when I gave you that child. That I paired you together because you are the right person at the right time for this job, for this child. And that grace gets me through so much with my kids.
So good.
And it makes me feel powerful as a mom and even smart.
That's right.
So to your question about how does operating in the gift of teacher affect me as a mom, I've never thought to ask that question before. But as I pondered it, I'm like, whoa, the answer is actually how I mother. And regardless of your spiritual giftings or even your natural giftings and skills, you know, unfortunately or thankfully, I'm not sure which, for each of us, every parent is a teacher.
That's right.
Yeah, every parent is a teacher. And so me operating in the gift of teacher, I'm thankful for that advantage, maybe. So in Ephesians 4:15, it shows us that that a teacher is responsible for what? To speak the truth.
Yep.
And so translate this into your parenting. Speak the truth. Speak the truth how? In love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as a parent, I get to speak the truth to my children, and I get to do it in love. What does that actually look like? Further up in the same chapter, in verse 2, it says, live a life worthy of your calling, Mama. Live a life worthy of your calling. Always be humble, gentle, patient with one another, making allowance for faults because of your love. Speaking the truth in love, it involves humbleness, gentleness, patience, and making room for one another, making room for our faults. And that's what a teacher does. So what is the secret to being able to do that as a mom who is a teacher? We'll speak the truth in love, but know when to stop talking. Know when to stop talking. Teachers want to say it 5 different ways. But I have learned that no lectures, no threats, no anger. When dealing with my children, I made my point, and they heard me the first time, right? They heard me the first time. And the 4 other times, I feel like I need to repeat it in different ways, from different angles, in different tones of voice.
Right.
All they're hearing is, wah, 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 wah. So my children are brilliant, and so are yours.
Come on.
They heard you the first time.
I love that.
So Proverbs 17:27 says, a truly wise person has few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. And, you know, there's a semicolon between those 2 phrases. They're not two separate thoughts. So the one who is understanding and even-tempered uses the skill of few words to stay that way.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. So I speak the truth in love with humility and grace, making room for our mutual faults. And then I step back. This is important, I think, moms and dads. Then you got to step back and trust what you've invested into them. You have to trust what you planted there. You did good. You did good. Now let the brilliance that is your child learn from his or her own choices. Okay? Your children are brilliant. And then you stay close with kindness and empathy. Stay close to make your home a safe place for them to discover their own lack, as well as skills and victories. And I think this works at any age.
Definitely.
I think you can do this with a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And with a 14-year-old. And with a 40-year-old.
Absolutely.
So, but I do have to say, I feel like the biggest tool in your parenting toolbox is your own example. Honesty and integrity are power tools that are oiled with humility. And so by your own example, as you've already said, I think all of you have said in some form, hey, own your mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, we're not perfect.
Come on.
And I don't expect myself to be. I don't expect my child to be. Own your mistakes. Be brave enough to apologize. And humble enough to clean up your mess.
Come on.
If you've made one,
yeah.
Even with your 4-year-old, you know. And let them see you do real life. That's teaching.
I love it.
Let them see you do real life. The ups, the downs. Your good choices, your bad.
Yep.
Be real in front of them. Because, as you've already said, I think the last thing your child needs is a perfect parent.
Yes, that's so good. You know, I think you just spoke to, we're crying out for authenticity, right? This not only is our children, we've read statistics lately that this next generation coming after us, that's their highest value is authenticity. And I feel like what better models, right, is their moms, their dads to model that for them. And sometimes I think as parents, we feel like we're protecting our children from not seeing real life, but we're really not. They're crying out for it. And so I think that's such good wisdom. Well, ladies, this has been fun. Really fun. Does anyone have any last encouraging words for the mothers watching today?
I just want to say we're doing a good job.
Come on.
Yeah, keep
we're
up
doing
the good
a
work.
Good job. Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all are rock stars. That's right.
And you deserve a wonderful present.
That's right. Oh, yes.
A to the men on that.
Or two or three or four.
And when the spas open back up, it's going down. Okay, Matt, are you watching?
Making up for lost time.
That's right. Well, this has been so much fun. We just want to thank you again for joining us today. And happy, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And make sure to stick around and join the Zoom calls and join in on the prophetic ministry. And you're going to be greatly encouraged. So have an amazing day. And we'll see you next time.